Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Vaughn, as we pray for him, and Father, we ask that your anointing would be poured out upon him. We know that you have been pouring it out as he has been preparing this message for today. And Father, we ask that you would continue to pour it out, that you would anoint his lips, and that you would speak in and through him. And I pray that our hearts and our ears and our eyes would be open to what you want to say to us this morning by your Holy Spirit as it comes through Vaughn. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So how is everybody's Christmas? That's good. Who here ate too much? Some good food over Christmas. Had an awesome opportunity to spend some time with family, and we were over in Abbotsford, and then I knew it was like everything was coming to a head. I had a paper that was due. I had to finish preparing my message and really get a sense of what I feel God was speaking for this morning, and then finish up at work and all that stuff. So this message is going to be just terrible. I'm kidding. No, it's actually weird. I probably got this word back in November, in the middle of worship here one Sunday morning. So I just kind of jotted it down. That's why it's handy. I know Chad talks about it all the time. Like, make notes on your phone, right? And that's what I did. And then I felt, yeah, this is the word. And the funny thing was, okay, we have a fair amount of parents here. You know when you talk to your teenager and you tell them something and they're looking you straight in the face and it's like there's no way they're listening to me right now. They have no idea. And it's like, hey, remember I told you to do that thing? And it's like, you never told me that. It's like, no, I told you that. And then, a little while later you do the same thing and you know they're not even listening to you and not getting what you're saying. It was a little bit of that, because I thought, oh, good, I got a word for the church, and then I found the Lord, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and saying, actually, Vaughn, this is a word for you. It might be bigger than just that, but you need to pay attention to this word too. So I'm going to be sharing out of that. I was so busy, like I said, I didn't make PowerPoints, so we're going old school. Okay, so if you're taking notes, I actually titled this message New Year's Revelations 2019. So does anybody here make resolutions? You know, that's a big thing. New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read a book a week for the rest of the whole year. We often do that things, but what I found is that a lot of times there's not a lot of follow through, right? And I've been guilty of it in the past as well. I've made New Year's resolutions, and by February, everything was out the window, right? But then I found there's a little shift that I needed, because, as we know, God's always speaking to us. So I started discovering New Year's revelations. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. I believe God, when we come into new seasons, we've been talking about seasons at church now this whole fall, and I think it's been extremely timely. And so I kind of want to build on that, because we're entering, it's an organic new season that we enter into every year. And so my question is, what is God wanting to do in me and in you this next year? What gifts does God want to release in my life and in your life this next year? How can I better serve others and be a blessing to those around me this coming year? Is there a word or a theme or a purpose that God has for me or you this next year? I've actually had a profound experiences as I stepped out in this, and I know Chad's talked about this too, but it was like This one year, I was so pumped because we're trudging along, doing some things. We felt we were being obedient to God. And I got this word, and I was so excited about it because I heard it so clearly. And it was like, the word was, wait on me. And I was like, awesome. You know, in my head, I'm like, I'll wait for like a couple weeks, and then I'm good. Well, that was about, I would say, like 5 years ago, and guess what? I'm still waiting. Still waiting on God. And it's this time where he's like molding me and cleaning out stuff and adding in better stuff, and it's not easy. So even when you get a word, and even if it's in season for the time, it doesn't mean it's easy. So I'm not going to, you know, make some grandioso claim that this is a prophetic word for the church this year, but at the same time, I do feel there's some prophetic on it. So I shared earlier at the beginning of the month, that's kind of cool, I'm sharing at the beginning of the month and the end of the month, with the 60-plus crew, and I was sharing how our old pastor in Edmonton used to say when a word would be given for someone, even if it's not directly for you, he used to say, feel free to get out your giant catcher's mitt and catch that word, right? And that you can grab onto that and apply it to your life as well, because that's just how the kingdom of God works. So first off, I'm going to take this easy. We'll be out of here by like 12:30 at the latest. I'm just kidding. Just 12. No. This is a super simple message, so no worries. My first point is get a revelation for 2019. And then I just added on, maybe get a revelation of God, like a new revelation of God for 2019. I believe we need a greater revelation of Jesus. If our identity is in him, then we need a revelation of him to truly understand who we are in him. Did you follow that? I know that was kind of a little bit. I'm going to say that again. If our identity is in him, then we need a revelation of him to truly understand who we are in him. Quite often, we're all guilty of making God too small. We limit, we try to put him in this nice, neat package. But we need a revelation of him. Matthew 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he asks them, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they answered him and they're like, you know, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then Jesus asked them, who do you say I am? And Peter speaks up. Peter, I totally picture him as one of your friends that has no filter. He just goes, bleh! And you're like, oh, probably he started talking and all the other disciples were just like, oh, not again. Man, Peter, cut it out. You keep embarrassing yourself. But no filter Peter goes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I have a feeling that probably rocked Peter's, no pun intended there, that probably rocked Peter's world a little bit. Because Peter got a revelation of who Jesus really is. And out of that revelation, Jesus spoke identity into Peter. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. You might say, on this revelation, I will build my church. We also need a revelation of what God is wanting to do through us as individuals and as the church. Daniel 11:32 says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. This is the big part. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. People who know their God. And just for fun, that word know in the Hebrew is yada. Yada means intimate and experiential. It's actually like Adam knew Eve. It almost is kind of edgy. And when God made a covenant with Abraham, he used that same word, covenant that produces fruit. That's the kind of intimacy that God wants to have with us. He wants to have yada moments with us. Intimacy that goes beyond what our probably we can truly comprehend. Being fruitful and multiplying isn't only restricted to childbearing. Intimacy and experience God in this way bears fruit in the spirit the same way it does in the physical. We all know the verse Psalm 46:10 that says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's that same word, yada. That intimate experiencing. NASB version actually says, I love it, it says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Often I've been very guilty of trying and striving to make something happen rather than just understanding, having that revelation of who Jesus is in my life. God is wanting to have yada moments with us. And it's funny, the youth and young adult are often on my heart in this church. And I felt strongly to say, so I'll kind of like scan and try to see where you're all at. I know the you have the Roan Peterson Clatt section over there. You have some other young. But listen up, young people, young adults. Quite often, when we grow up in the church, we grow up riding the coattails of our parents. We kind of are like, we're sitting with them and we're riding in on their relationship with Christ and their relationship with Jesus. And we come to this point where it's like, it's time to put up or shut up, as you would say. It's time to find your own relationship with Jesus in a real way. And I want to encourage you, you guys too need to catch a revelation of who Jesus is and who he is in your life and what kind of relationship you can actually have. And so you're not just like, yeah, well, you know, I'm good. I'm getting the golden ticket from my parents, you know, that I'm on the ride. It's cool. But I just want to encourage you, God wants to do something in your life this year in a new way. God wants you to have an experience and an encounter with him where you get to begin to understand who he is. He wants to have his own relationship with you. You know, it's funny, you read the Old Testament and, you know, I've always wondered why was it always said, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And it was like this legacy and this heritage that was passed down to generation to generation. God wants to do that with you. So he wants to say, yes, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Vaughn. And you can fill in your name in that blank. He wants to be your God and develop that relationship. So youth and young adults, there's so much for you here in this church. I just want to encourage you for that. So get a revelation of God for 2019. What does he want to say to you? My next point is get ready to make room. Mark 11:15-17 says, and everybody knows this story. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables and the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow any of them to carry wares through the temple. And he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations,' and you have made it a den of thieves?" So I know, as a young guy, I always loved this because I just love Jesus like going all WWF and flipping over tables. And in my head, he's probably like body slamming some of them and all that stuff. But we spend so much time on the den of thieves part that sometimes I think we forget a little bit of what's going on in this story. Because some people are like, well, you know, this means you cannot sell items in the foyer. See, you're making it a den of thieves. Or we can't rent out this area of the church. Or you can't have a daycare in the church. You're making it a den of thieves. You're missing the point. I've read commentaries on this portion of Scripture that suggested that Jesus was more angry that the money changers and the sellers were actually taking up the space where Gentiles and foreigners were supposed to have to pray. They were blocking the area and not allowing people to take their rightful place to pray and worship God. That offended him more than even them ripping off people selling doves for sacrifice or whatever they were doing. That was more offensive to him because Jesus was already thinking in the frame of the kingdom of God. Jesus wanted his church to be a house of prayer for all nations. This is this inclusiveness that the kingdom is all about. God wanted the different type of people, the Gentiles, the you and me's, to experience him. And my question would be, are we making room? Do we get so stuck in our preferences and how we do things that we are actually hindering people from coming to pray and worship with us? Or do we expect them to be already sanitized and already there? This is just a thought. It's funny, like, and sometimes the love of God kind of hurts our brain, right? If we really catch it. I had a friend, he works in the Anglican Church. He's a priest up in Port Hardy right now. And he was down visiting, so we went for a walk and we're hanging out and talking, catching up. And he was telling me about how there was a Muslim couple that I think they may have been Syrian refugees. I'm not totally 100% on that. But this Muslim couple came and somehow he had an interaction with them, and he was saying how they were struggling because they had no place to pray. And he said he felt really led to say, well, you know, we can make room for you over in our space, and no one will bother you or anything like that. And they were super appreciative of that, just the extension of love. Now, if I'm being completely honest, part of me was like, you can't do that. You can't have, you know, a different religion praying in your thing. And you know, if I'm still feel weird about it. I'm going to be honest. But what I don't feel weird about is how he was extending love to this family. Because who knows what can happen when they're in the presence of God. I hear stories all the time that we don't hear about of tons of Muslim people being reached out to by Christians and all over the world, in Europe and in different places, where they're experiencing the presence of God and coming to Christ. Because they're like, I never knew it could be like this. I never knew that you could be so backwards thinking that you would actually offer love to us, because, you know, that's not what we tend to do to Christians. And again, that inclusiveness. So I just want to encourage us. I know that that's kind of an extreme example, but I think it's also an example of the heart of God, how he just wants to extend love to everybody. And my question is, are we making room? Are we making room in our church? Are we making room in our lives? Are we making rooms in our houses? Are we making rooms in our circle of friends? Just a thought. Lastly, my last point is get ready to step out. So we have get a revelation for 2019. Get ready to make room and get ready to step out. This is the part that makes me uncomfortable. Mark 16, 15 to 18 says, and he said to them, we all know the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned. Focus on this part. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So honestly, I believe this year I am called to step out more, to get out of my comfort zone and to actually begin to walk out this commission that Jesus gave his disciples. In that same commission in Matthew, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then he sends them there. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." That authority has been given by him to us. It's a transference. This is a job description for all of us. If I can be super honest and vulnerable, I'm tired of living with a limp and weak faith. I am tired of not being a vessel of God's power. I am tired of not living the life of a disciple that is called to go and make other disciples, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to encourage the poor in spirit, to love the unloved. I'm talking to myself here. I'm sick and tired of living the kind of life that is not doing that. And the reality is that people are looking for the supernatural. But the problem is, right now, it's an ABC situation. That's what I call it. Anywhere but church. Paranormal shows are some of the most popular shows on TV now and in Hollywood. Atheism is actually on the decline. I think one of the last conferences that Stephen Hawking was having, they had to cancel it because no one was coming. People aren't believing that there is no God. They're believing there's something out there. There's got to be something. And they're looking for it everywhere else but church. And why is that? The New Age and the occult festivals are booming. They're happening all the time all over the world. And where is the church? Where is our answer to show the truth? Do we not believe? Because when I read in that passage, it said, "These signs will follow those who believe." Just a question. I know I want to be that answer. I want to be that light in the darkness. I want to be a conduit of the real deal power of God, not the cheap imitation that the enemy is trying to present to people. So if you remember, if you read about, even look at Moses, right? All the miracles that he was doing, the magicians, those guys would do the same thing to a certain point. That power was limited. It was a cheap imitation. We see that all the time. It's caused a division in the church with just how the cheap imitation is misrepresenting, so people don't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit because it freaks them out. They don't understand it. I think at times we forget that Jesus' intent was for us to begin where he left off. He said we would do greater things than him. Do we actually believe him when he said that? So this is kind of what's been stirring in my heart. And so I say, I know this is a word for me. I don't know if this is resonating with others here. And I know we got to keep it brief because these kids are going to start bouncing off the walls right away. But at the same time, I would feel completely remiss if I didn't give opportunity. If that does stir something in you, then I think we need to respond. So I'll get Joel just to come back. Actually, I really appreciated that you chose for the sake of this world, because I feel that is really the heart of what I'm saying. It says, "God, burn a fire in me." And I know I want to have more of that fire. I want to have more of that power. I want a better revelation of who Jesus is in my life for this coming year. I want to be able to make room for the people around me and be more inclusive and pray and just love people into the kingdom. And I want to be ready to step out and see God move, get uncomfortable a little bit. I hear amazing stories all over the world in young people's lives and different things where they're just stepping out. They're just having these Holy Spirit encounters with these people that don't even know him. They're just feeling impressed to pray for this guy, talk to him and pray for him. And the Holy Spirit's just showing up. People are being healed. People are being set free. People are being saved. This is my heart for 2019. That God's going to do a moving in me. You know, quite often I've even been guilty of like, you know, come on, church, what's going on? What's going on? We're not doing anything. And that, you know what? The finger always comes back at me. Well, what are you doing, Vaughn? You know, when the word of the Lord came, you know, it was the prophet that would say, "Here am I, send me." It wasn't like, "Here am I, let's organize a committee and then send some people out." It was like, "No, send me." So if that's you, if you're feeling a stirring in your spirit saying, you know what, some of that resonates, I want to pray with you. I just want to pray for impartation. I want to pray for just infilling of the Holy Spirit and an anointing of what God is speaking to you for 2019, this new season, this new year. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, if you need to leave, by all means, you're free to go. But if that's stirring in you and you want to just either make a declaration and saying, yes, I want more of God, I want a move, or if there's a need or anything, I just want to be able to pray with you guys. So Father, thank you so much for what you're doing in this place, God. What you're doing in this church, in the lives of each member here, what you're doing in the Comox Valley, God, and I'm just praying, Lord, that you would continue to stir our hearts and stir our spirits, and that we would have ears to hear what you're speaking to us, what you want to do in this next season, Lord. So God, I pray that just for a blessing on everybody here as we have an amazing New Year's and start this year off strong. God, I pray blessing on everyone. I pray favor on everyone, Lord. And I pray that it would be a year of fruit in the physical and in the spiritual as well, God. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for CPC. Thank you for everyone who is here and those that couldn't be here as well. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.